Welcome back to They Talk Sex Podcast. I'm your host, Elle Stanger. This is the Amish stripper episode. We're going to meet our guest, Naomi Swartzentruber.
Hi.
And you just published a book called...
The Amazing Adventures of an Amish Stripper, an erotic memoir.
And I found you on Instagram. You are on TikTok and Instagram at... Amish Inspiration. Folks, go there now if you haven't seen or heard from her already. So my understanding of Naomi in my crash course to you, because I really just found out about you like 5 days ago, and I'm delighted because there's so much unique, like, former or current stripper representation. Let's talk about all of it. And you're doing your unique lived experience perspective. From my understanding, you were raised Amish and you left when you were 17.
Yes.
And you wrote a book about that and the years after. Is that correct?
Yes. So I grew up Amish, in the strictest Amish community, just the Swartzentruber Amish. And I left when I was 17. And then at 19, I became a stripper. But when I would talk to people and they would find out about my story, they always told me that I needed to write a book. And I often started writing a book, but also would get stuck. And then... when I lived in Las Vegas, I met a couple and they had published and written quite a few books. So they helped me in the process. And that's how I was finally able to write it and be successful. It took me 11 years from the time I started writing it until I published it. But I'm really glad that I didn't give up.
Yeah. What year did it publish? It's just
in August 2023, last year.
Okay. Okay, great. So I also have started making notes, and I've also had people be like, oh, you should write a book. And I'm like, yeah, you know, but I think your book is way more interesting than mine already.
Well, thank you. But I think everyone has a great story.
Of course. And I'm sure you've talked so much about this already because, you know, you have done media and interviews before. But if for our captive audience, if you could tell, how did you audition? And did you start in Las Vegas?
I did not start in Las Vegas. When, after I left, my first, a year after I left Amish, my first boyfriend and I moved to Minnesota, and then he broke up with me and I moved into my own apartment, and I was worried about how I was going to support myself. And my girlfriend was like, well, there's lots of ways to make money. And I was like, how? And she's like, you could be a stripper. And my jaw dropped. I was speechless. I couldn't believe she said that.
So often it is the friend. She took you in.
Yes, she was awesome. She's still my awesome friend. We're super close. Our birthdays are a day apart, but she's amazing.
Wow.
And so she's like, let's go out on Friday. But she wouldn't tell me where we were going. I had a beer before we left. And she pulls into this parking lot. And I was like, oh my goodness. I couldn't believe it. It was a... on the outside, it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. On the outside of the building, there was a spinning pole with two silhouette women, like, slowly going around.
Classic.
And I was like, did you really just bring me to a strip club? She's like, yes, but don't worry. We don't have to do anything. We'll just go and look. And it was crazy. I walk in and there's naked girls on stage and she, like, smiling at me and looking at me. And I was super uncomfortable. And we went and sat at the bar. And she's like, I'll be right back. And she comes back and we got water. And pretty soon the manager came and she's like, I hear you need a job. And I was like, I could never do this. Oh, and he's like, well, come to my office and we'll talk about it. And he asked me a few questions and I was like, I'm way too shy. I can't do this. And he's like, if you change your mind, let us know. And I sat at the bar and three girls came by and they grabbed me and dragged me to the dressing room with my girlfriend behind, giggling.
Whoa. Really?
Yes. And they stripped off my clothes and they all agreed on a hot pink bikini. And they told me once I was on stage during the first song, I had to take my top off. And the second song, I had to be completely naked because it was a nude club. Mm-hmm. And they pushed me through the door onto the stage. And oh, I couldn't believe it. I was on stage and I was like, okay, I am here. What do I do? And I walked to the pole and I grabbed a hold of it and I tried to sway my hips and look sexy like I saw the girls moving, but I'm sure I wasn't graceful like they were.
The deer in the headlights and, look is always.
Yes, yeah. Just like completely like freaked out. And then I discovered my long hair was like, I have long blonde hair and it fell in front of my face and I was like, oh, I feel safe. And I continued to let my hair shield me as I was moving around and I took my top off to, it was Pour Some Sugar was the first song.
Oh my God. I've done so many stage dances. Oh my God. What year was it?
This was in 1999.
Okay.
When I was 19.
Wow.
Like, you have to remember, I'm like this little shy ex-Amish girl that just came from being Amish and I thought dancers were bad people or I didn't know much about them. Mm-hmm. And here I am on stage naked. And finally, the second song, I did get naked and I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is crazy. I'm on stage and I'm seeing my own vagina.
Like, right.
I felt like crying, but I blinked away my tears and people were clapping and cheering and throwing money. Wow. So I just made the most of it and I hoped the song would end soon. And when it did, I gathered all my money and I had $55. I couldn't believe it. I was like, that's amazing. Like, I just made $55 during two songs. And I went to the manager and I was like, I think I could work here after all. And I started the next night and I was a dancer for 20 years after that. Wow. I loved it. It was amazing. Like, I actually miss it because when I go on stage or when I would go on stage, something would come alive inside me. I felt confident, empowered, and I could own my sexuality and I enjoyed doing pole tricks. It was super awesome.
Wow. When I saw, so I saw some of your other interview photos. There's the red shiny dress and the long hair. And I thought immediately, I was like, oh, that hair is an asset for this stage. And then like the soft like eyebrows and the blue eyes. I'm like, so many men's fantasies. It's like the dichotomy. People love like, you know, the angel or like, you know, the devil girl. I'm usually the devil girl. So, but what a fantastic audition. And so strange that I'm hearing like there was shades of negotiation and boundaries. Like your friend is like, well, you don't have to do anything, but we're here. And then literally to like actual coercion and physical pushing from the other dancers into the dressing room. Like, what an interesting process. And then to come out through it and be like, that is actually something. If I do that 10 more times at $55, I have $550.
Right. Like, I still thank my girlfriend sometimes because I'm like, you know, that night changed my life forever.
So like, interesting.
And I would have, who knows what would have happened if I didn't do that. But I really enjoyed my dance years. Sure, there were ups and downs. But honestly, like, it gave me a different outlook on life and a good life that I don't know. I mean, maybe other opportunities would have came up, but it was great.
You're here now. Yeah, certainly.
Yes.
So, okay. So the years you started working, this was, you said 1999.
1999. And the last time I danced was in 2020. And it happened during I had a sprained ankle. So I didn't dance much at the beginning of 2020. And I literally went back to work for 2 days. And then the club shut down because of the pandemic. And then the end of May or the middle of May, it reopened and I danced from the middle of May until the end of June until the clubs shut down again. And then once they reopened, I found I was pregnant and I didn't want to dance during my pregnancy. So that's the last time I danced was the end of June in 2020.
That makes a lot of sense to me. So for context, you know, and we don't know each other, folks know this about me, but I started in 2009 was my audition. And I went until March 2020. And then I'm currently stripping again in Portland, but I had my child 12 years ago. But what a time to get out. Honestly, the best time because the economy is still pretty shitty and things have never been the same post COVID. I don't know about where you were working or what your peers say, but terrible over here. I honestly, a nod to the golden age that I'm glad it sounds like you got to enjoy.
Yes, no, I'm glad and I'm grateful. When I was dancing in Vegas, I was able to buy a house in 2010 and I sold it in 2018, which is
Yes.
how I was able to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom. I currently am still a stay-at-home mom.
Yes.
So I don't live in a mansion, but I do live happy and I'm debt-free. So.
Good. See, this is inspiring. And for you younger Swerkers or, anybody listening, like you have to save money and you have to think about like you're going to be more tired when you're older, not less.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you can
And
save money, please do.
no, I am grateful that I was able to. I didn't always save my money, and there were many years where I just went to work kind of when I needed money. But I talked, this one girl sat me down when I was at Cheetah's in Las Vegas one night, and she's like, Risa, that was my stage name. She's like, do you have any goals? And I'm like, oh, I'm making my car payment. Like, I have a car and I'm paying my rent and stuff, like I'm doing great. And she's like, no, don't you want things like a house? And I was like, I could never do that. And she's like, sure you could.
Oh, that's what you said about stripping. I could never do
Yes, exactly. And she kept talking to me that throughout the evening, and she's like, you really, all you need to do is just work a few more extra hours a day. Like you could, we had to pay a house fee from when I worked in the
that.
afternoons, mostly during that time from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. She's like, you could be here during that whole time and make the most use of your time and build up your money so you could buy a house. And that was, I think, in 2008, and in 2010 I had a house.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm so
Amazing.
grateful for her because she also, that also changed my life because I became ambitious, like motivated and inspired and determined, and that's what I did. And I'm really grateful she was there for me like that.
Yeah, it really takes a village. Like, we can't do things in isolation. Sometimes we just need a little push or fresh inspiration. So happy to hear that you are momming and you had a nest egg settled. You speak very, very candidly in your videos, and interviews, writing stuff about your former sex work. Do you experience any types of particular criticism or feedback?
About the sex work and stripping.
Yeah.
So, in my videos, I don't talk about the sex work because I don't want to get banned.
Ooh, yep, there you go. You heard it, audience.
And
Like, it prevents us from being honest.
yes, but I do, and I talk about dancing a little bit. I don't really receive any negative criticism. I mean, sometimes I do a little
Okay.
bit, but mostly people are happy that I got out and that I am where I am, and the feedback has been pretty positive, honestly. A lot of people want to see pictures and videos, but I don't want to get banned, so I don't share those.
That's very smart. That's very smart. So people are happy that you got out of Amish or stripping or both.
Stripping, it seems
Oh.
like. People are like, we're glad that you're out of it. That's a lot of feedback that I get. A lot of people
See.
are like, you got to find God. And I'm like, I don't talk about religion, but.
Wow. Okay, well, I mean, that tells me something. I'm hearing horophobia in that response because that is such a common response for people to be like, oh, I'm so happy for you that you don't have to do that to yourself anymore. And it's like, well, but what about the people that like actually are still working in those conditions and like maybe it's their best choice? Like,
Right.
what are you saying? So
Exactly. Now,
interesting.
I just want people to know that these are choices, that was a choice that I made, and I do not regret dancing. The sex work, I don't know that I regret it. I do have some regrets about it. For example, when I wasn't honest with my partner about it. And that's the regret that I have. I didn't know how to talk to them about it.
Well, and that's very understandable. That's a common regret that I hear from people. And also because we're not given circumstances and surroundings and societies where our partners are necessarily understanding or prepared to hear those things. I don't know if yours
Right.
would have been, but yeah, there's reasons people stay closeted, you know?
So that is, yeah, that's like one of my biggest regrets that I didn't. I
Yeah.
had two partners that I just couldn't bring myself to, excuse me, to tell them.
And that's really, really common for people. I still hear that all the time, you know. And that's not fair to people. It's like, if this is what they're doing to feed themselves or pay their bills, like, even if they get to enjoy it, like, you should be happy for them. But I work with people who've been stripping for, you know, years, and their parents don't know. Or maybe, like, they do an ad hoping that, like, their boyfriend's friends won't find out, and then they're gonna be immature about it and treat him immaturely, and he's not going to know how to stick up for himself or call them out for that sex negative hypocrisy. Because who doesn't like pretty women, you know?
Exactly.
Right. So,
and I always see, if, you know, the guys are, and I'm not saying that all guys go to strip clubs, but guys are always going to go to strip clubs, and it's a good way for girls to go and make money and express themselves. Like, it's, I don't think that it's bad.
So, as someone who's no longer in the industries, but you're on social media a lot, so your TikTok and Instagram at Amish Inspiration, one of them's at like 55,000 right now, the Instagram. How long have you had it?
I've had my Instagram account since 2017.
Okay. Okay.
And my TikTok, I've had since 2021, and there I have 203,000 followers.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so you get a lot of visibility.
Yes.
Do you see other materials by, like, current or former strippers?
I do not.
That makes sense.
I do have some of them commenting and saying that they're a former stripper, or they still are strippers, and they're always very supportive. I get really, really, like, they're cool. Amazing. I'm honestly like, oh, it's so empowering to have other dancers, like, comment and say, you know, call me a queen or things like that. Very positive feedback.
I love that. Oh, that's great. Okay. So my question was going to be, do you see anything in social media relating to stripping that ever surprises you? So, like, for me, I'll see people posting videos where it's, like, pretty obvious the car they're driving or, like, where they're posting from, and they're, like, flashing a bunch of cash. And I'm like, that's so dangerous.
Yeah, I know. I've seen some of them. Like, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't like to speculate or...
Right.
But it's, some of them are, it's obvious that they are strippers, and I am happy that they feel comfortable being on there like that. That's great.
But watch your back. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to get banned because it's touchy. So.
Right. Yeah. That's very smart of you. And we talk a lot about censorship here and communications and use of the internet. I'm finding it very interesting. And it's smart of you to notice how the internet functions or social media functions in this way, because you're right, you can't post certain things that are very relevant and interesting or visually artistic, but you know that posting them puts your account in jeopardy.
Right.
Meanwhile, there's, like, very graphic violence, or, you know, videos of people, like, hitting women, like, surveillance stuff you see, like, street cam footage. I see stuff like that all the time. So there's, like, a plethora of violence that's allowed. But God forbid I post, like, pole dancing videos in clubs are banned on Instagram, and they have been for like 3 or 4 years now.
Wow. I'm lucky that my account didn't get banned before I published my book. I don't know. I was feeling like risque or something. I just wanted to share a video, and I have only a couple videos of me dancing, and they're all in a mask during the pandemic. I was like, you know, I'm just going to take some videos of me dancing on the pole. There was, like, no one in the club. It was pretty early in the day. And I did post it on my Instagram stories before, but never on, like, my feed on Instagram. Thankfully, didn't get banned.
I took a ton of mine down whenever they threw that rule. I can't remember what it was now. I feel like it was December or something, 2021 or 2022. But so before we take a break, if you haven't already, go look up The Amazing Adventures of an Amish Stripper, an erotic memoir in print or Kindle edition by Naomi Schwarzentruber. Oh my God.
That's awesome.
I want to do your name justice, but we're trying.
It's okay. It's Schwarzentruber. It's a hard
one. Schwarzentruber. Okay.
Yeah,
Schwarzentruber. What is that?
It's German.
German. Okay. Yes. Yes, German, alas. All right, so find Naomi also on TikTok or Instagram at Amish Inspiration. This is the Amish Stripper episode. I'm your host, Elle Stanger. Find me, ellestanger.com. If you need someone to talk to anonymously for support about the relationships in your life, the Lifeline at 988lifeline.org provides 24/7 free and confidential support for people in distress. Call or text 988 or 988lifeline.org. Welcome back to They Talk Sex podcast. Thank you for rating or reviewing this show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We are also on theytalksex.com. Let's see. Oh, that's what I was forgetting. If you want to see behind the scenes of what I am doing in the club or at home or out in the world, go to patreon.com/strangebedfellows. It's just a dollar or more a month, depending on how much you want to give back to me, your host. Let's get right back to the Amish Stripper episode. We're speaking with Naomi. So we're going to do some listener questions. Okay, so these questions were specifically sourced by folks on my Instagram, at StripperWriter on Instagram. Let's see. Okay, so these are specifically for Naomi. Listener question one. Oh, this is a often relevant one. Do you have any advice for someone who is likely to be ostracized or cut off from some of their family members if I disclose what I'm doing for work?
Wow, that's a really good question. So I don't know that I have much advice because I've never talked to my family about it because my family's Amish. And well, I did in the beginning, actually. I take that back. So in the beginning, when I started dancing, I told some of my brothers and sisters and they made fun of me and teased me. Mm. So I stopped telling them and I just would, throughout my 20 years, I would tell my family that I was a waitress or a bartender. Mm. And I think it's naive to think that they don't know because the Amish people find out everything somehow. Mm. But I guess if I was in that situation, I would probably not give up on my family members because sometimes people in the moment, they don't understand. Mm. But in the end, you're still family.
Mm. And they might come around.
And they might come around. So I would just mm-hmm. be persistent, give them their space, but also not give up on them.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, family is very important.
What do you think about, you've definitely mentioned a couple of close friends that have really helped you along in life or been there for you. So I would say maybe try to just dive into making connections in other ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because if your family's not there, well, yeah, if your family's not there for you, there's always definitely other people out here in the world that are and can be there to support you and guide you and inspire you. So mm-hmm. I definitely recommend to seek support like that if possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get inspired.
Mm-hmm. Good one. Listener question two. At what point do you or did you disclose your previous sex work or stripping work to people that you're dating or meeting, as we talk about making connections?
We previously talked about this a little bit. So stripping, I was always very upfront and honest with my partners about, but sex work, I just couldn't. Well, my boyfriend in Las Vegas, I wasn't doing it then. When I first went to Las Vegas, and I was determined actually not to do it again, because when I was having dark days and I was a drug addict in Michigan before I went to Las Vegas, that's when my sex work started.
We're talking about escorting or full service stuff.
Yeah, escorting. Yeah. I was selling myself to support my habit and so I could eat and have a place to sleep, so I didn't have to sleep under a bridge or wherever. So
oh my goodness.
I did it then. But When I moved to Las Vegas, I was determined not to go down that road again. And the guy I was dating, he was completely okay with me dancing. And for some reason, he would like get a job and then he would just stop working. Like he could not hold a job, even though he would find these amazing jobs. He would just get fired or just stop working. And then I was stuck supporting him. And I just finally, I couldn't take it. And I saw all the temptations that Vegas had, other girls at the club. I would hear them talking about their clients outside the club. And one night a girl invited me to this attorney's house. And this story is actually in my book. And that's when it started. Like I lied to him. I did tell him that I went to this guy's house with this, my girlfriend, but I didn't tell him all the details and he didn't believe me. And I wish that I would have just told him then, but I would do it behind his back.
Well,
and I know that was wrong.
Yeah. But I understand how you got there, honestly, because like some of the things I've noticed about men getting jobs is that a lot of them have access to higher paying jobs. And I think they just don't value them as much because I see this also like, oh, my buddy got me a contracting job or a quit or a sales or whatever. So it's like, you're tired of supporting this man. Of course you're resentful. You have opportunities, you know, there's definitely like, of course I would say yes, disclose to your partner, but if they're not carrying their weight and there's like reasons for you to be resentful, I 100% probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah, that's what happened there.
Yeah.
I was super resentful. And I was like, well, if I have to pay your bills, I'm going to do what I have to do to support myself and you.
Exactly.
And then after 6.5 years, I broke up with him. And then eventually I dated a guy in California. And I don't know. And he probably would have been completely okay with it because I met him at the strip club in Las Vegas. And I was so in love with him and I was so scared that he would leave me. And he had a good job. Like he was an engineer and he was doing great. And I just wanted to be with him so bad. And I was so selfish and I didn't tell him. And that's what I wish I would have told him right away. And I just didn't. And that was again, wrong. And when I met my current partner, he knew before we even started dating. I was like, I didn't even know we were going to date at this point, but I was like, I'm never making that mistake ever, ever again in my life.
Wow.
Like, cause it just came up in a conversation because my partner and I, we met through my ex in California and we were talking and he's like, I told your boyfriend that what you do when you go to Las Vegas, because I was living in California. And I was like, what? Why did you tell him? He's like, oh, he doesn't believe me. And I was like, well, it's true, but please just don't talk to him again about it. And he's like, don't worry, I won't. And then, I don't know, some things happened and my ex actually made us have sex. And then we ended up running away together.
Oh, yeah, my God. This sounds like a very crazy, unhealthy dynamic going on over there on that side.
It really was. And it was all really hard when it all happened because like my ex and my partner worked together and my ex, he brought him into our life and into our crazy parties and all that stuff. And my ex was very controlling and he always wanted to have sex with multiple people and he would make me have sex with guys so he could have so he could use that against me so he could have sex with another woman. I know it was super unhealthy. It was terrible.
Well, this is very helpful for some people are hearing this right now and they might be identifying for the first time things that are going on in their own relationship that are not safe necessarily or communicative. So again, very candid. And I'm so glad that it sounds like you're not dealing in a relational like clusterfuck.
No. So my partner and I, we eventually, because things got awkward after that, and I pursued my partner, even though it was weird when I met him, I didn't think I was interested in him that way. But after we had sex and things started happening, I was like, oh, this is really fun. And
see, this is why different. I have sex early when I'm dating. I'm like,
we didn't even mean to. Like my partner and I were both adamant about not having sex with each other. And he like unzipped my partner's pants. He's like, come on, you know, you want to. And finally we both gave in. And then I was like,
our wild party.
Really fun. Yes. A wild party. And
so
then Go ahead.
Oh,
Sorry.
no. Well, I was going to say to the point of at what point do you disclose your previous work? So what I'm hearing was it was helpful for this person to know immediately. And that's a great screening tool. If you're safe enough to just put it out there, like, oh, this is what I do for work. And immediately a lot of people will be like, no, or okay.
Exactly. And my partner was like, wow, that's takes a lot of strength and courage to do what you do. He's like,
oh,
it's pretty cool that you were able to do that.
Oh, that's beautiful. We love
and
that.
And I'm so grateful because he's amazing and we have a wonderful relationship.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And no forced sex or any of that stuff.
Yeah, God. It takes a longer time for people. So to bring this back to what I don't know, I don't pretend to know a lot about Amish people, but I know sexually conservative and probably not talking about things like basic health and hygiene and function, dysfunction, arousal, stuff like that. So it makes it harder for people to relate sexually and safely when they weren't given the tools to growing up. When we can't name things to kids like coercion, partner violence, you know, shaming, like it makes it harder to identify. So all of this to say, I'm really glad that you've like settled and that you can mom from the safety of a good home with like a supportive partner. Cause it definitely,
yes.
Some people are searching for this for decades and they wouldn't have to have so many unhealthy experiences for so long if we were just given the tools to relate when we were younger. That's my sex ed rant.
Absolutely. I didn't have any sex education as an Amish child. And even after I left, the people that took me in, I didn't know the guy was married. I didn't leave to be with him. I just wanted a place to stay. And I asked mm-hmm. him to let me move in with him. And he abused me even before I left, and our sexual relationship continued, even though he was married. And I feel like I was so vulnerable at that point, and that really set me up like throughout my life for the next 20 years of like, I didn't have any education, first of all, like I said, and then just falling into that, like, I feel like it just was like escalated it or made it worse because he took advantage of me when I was young and vulnerable and he groomed me. It's horrible.
So what comes up is a lot of times closed off, isolated communities with very male dominant leadership can be very dangerous because it often
right.
steps on, you know, women and children as labor. Yeah, you know so much more about this. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I feel like, well, I know that I will definitely do things different with my daughter. And it is what you're saying. I absolutely, I agree. It can be hard to navigate with the way things are.
Yeah. So that's why we fight for inclusive and accurate sex education. And for, you know, like kindergarten, that is naming of your own body parts and learning yes, no.
Right, exactly.
Right, okay.
I'm very adamant about teaching my daughter all the right body names of all their body parts and stuff, even though she's three.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. That's well, and to talk about consent and safety in children, it can make a big difference because if a child is able to say, you know, so-and-so touched my vulva, that can flag abuse a lot sooner than so-and-so touched my cookie. That
right.
might not flag someone at all, you know.
Exactly. Well, she knows about her private areas that other people aren't allowed to touch them.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
People can't touch them. And
under very specific circumstances, like if we go to the doctor, we have a procedure, you know, sometimes, right?
Right. Things like that. Yeah. I forgot about that. I have talked to her about that. And she's told me only the doctor, Mama.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes.
This is actually, if it's useful for you, Naomi, you can take this or leave it. But I'm going to share this for other stripper parents, you know, mommies, parents, daddies as well. What I have found useful in explaining my strip club work to my kid, because, you know, I started 15 years ago. She's 12. So I had her, you know, in between, and her dad I met at the club, and I've talked about that before. What I explained to her was the first time she found out, you know, mommy dances in her underwear, she was very surprised. She already knew mommy danced and talked to people for a living, and she knows those things are valuable because she likes dancing and talking, right? Some people will pay mommy to dance and talk with her. Did you know also sometimes mommy is in fancy costumes or underwear or even naked? To which she said, naked. And I said, well, most of the time in our culture, we're walking around in clothes, unless we're, you know, going to the bath or maybe something else is happening. So it's very special for people to get to see my body, and they give me money in gratitude. And she was like, oh, okay.
That's awesome. Thank you. Yes, very helpful.
You're welcome. Yeah, folks, take that. So it's all context on what we say to kids, right?
Right.
So
absolutely.
Listener question three. We got a little away, but coming right back. Listener question three. Do you have any favorite? So of course, obviously people buy the book. She's only giving you little teasers. Do you have any favorite memorable stories from working in sex that you could share here?
I do have some. I used to, a couple of my clients were kinky and fun. Ooh. And one of them, he would always get another girl, and we would go to a room, and or we would go out in the town sometimes. But one night he took me to the Green Door in Las Vegas, and that's
it was a sex club,
like a sex club. Yes.
Yeah.
And he had never taken ecstasy before.
Oh.
And I had a connection, so I found some, and we went there, and I don't know, it was pretty cool.
It
was
like a really jungle awesome in there. All.
Yes. And then also, yeah, it was like a jungle. It was crazy. They had all these different rooms, and I do write about this in my book, so good. I'll leave some for the imagination, but good. There's all different rooms and fun stuff that happened. And then when I lived in LA, I would go to like these crazy sex parties. Like they were actual sex parties.
I knew your book was more interesting than mine. All right. Keep going.
There was actually one of our neighbors had, I won't say the name of the house, but sure. They had a really awesome house. They had all kinds of like things in their bedroom, even OBGYN table.
Oh, wow.
A sex swing, a stripper pole, homemade sex toys. They had a cage under their bed where people would like be locked up in the cage. They had a real coffin. They had a pool, a sauna.
Wow.
Like it was pretty awesome. And people would just be having sex everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
And the other party was kind of the same thing.
Oh my gosh.
Just they had a bigger house and there were different rooms with different themes of people would always be having sex. So that was always really fun to go to.
Wow. I bet they kept the cleaning people in. Yes. I'm like,
I know.
That's what I always think about. That's a lot of maintenance, like respect if you're doing it properly.
Yes. Oh. And it's
that's awesome.
In those scenes, it was all about consent.
Oh.
And like, because there would be people swapping partners or threesomes and all kinds of dynamics going on. And it can be fun if everyone is consents to it.
Good. Oh, I love to hear that. Okay, good.
Yeah. It has to be consent when these things are going on.
Yay. I'm glad you got to experience that. I want more.
Had lots of fun in Las Vegas with my clients. Like they would take me out shopping and I don't know. It was just really fun. And then we would go back to a room and have crazy sex.
I want it's that. Awesome. See, who doesn't want to be worshipped and adored? Come on.
Yes, it was really fun.
Wow.
And I try not to put, I had a lot of scenes in my book and I ended up taking some of them out because I felt like it was just too much, but there's still a lot of them in there.
It is an erotic memoir, people. So.
Yes, it's very spicy.
It sounds like it. Goodness sake.
I've actually had some. Oh, go ahead.
One of my listeners needs to buy me this book. I have like so many books I need to buy, but that's one that you can bring to me in the club.
I'll just send you one.
Oh, girl. Okay.
I'll just mail you one. I apologize because I meant to ask you if you had it, and if you didn't, I was going to send it to you.
I would love it.
I would. Crazy busy. So afterwards, so we'll get your address so I can mail you
one.
Oh
my God, Naomi, I would love that.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, everyone sharing in this bonding moment. Listener question 4 from our online listeners. Oh, okay, cool. We came right around to this. So how do you plan on expressing your thoughts on sex work or stripping to your kid when they are older? I just want to clarify what you shared earlier with our audiences so that there's like less confusion. So earlier you mentioned when you were doing survival sex work, it sounds like under like severe like duress and substance abuse addiction issues. So that was not a good time, and that definitely makes sense. And also that seems really separate from like the fun, cool times you had. So I don't want folks to like start thinking that full service is always like under duress or under these particular circumstances. Like this is also incredibly different for every person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So with no shame to anyone who's ever done full service and survival work, of course. So how does Naomi plan on expressing her thoughts on sex work or stripping to her kid when they are older?
I plan on being like very upfront about it, and just for her to be aware of like what can all come with it. Like, I want her to have like a fully understanding when she's old enough, obviously, of the dangers that can come with it, but also there can be fun. And I did have lots of fun with it, but there were also some instances where I didn't feel safe. Mm-hmm. And I still did it, even though I had like a gut feeling that I shouldn't do it. So always to trust her gut and to not do something if she doesn't feel safe.
That's good advice for all parents, definitely.
And I just really want to educate her, and because I didn't get any of that when I was, well, not really ever. So,
Well, you're doing it now. That's what we're doing here in this episode.
Yes,
folks.
And I've learned. I had to learn as I went along, and it took me a long time to learn a lot of things and figure things out. But I'm grateful to be where I'm at.
Better late than never.
Exactly.
And still cute though. Still got those beautiful
Thank
eyes.
You.
I know, that's what I think. I'm like, well, when I'm stressed, still cute though.
That's right.
So we're gonna take another break. This is They Talk Sex Podcast. This is the Amish Stripper episode. If you haven't already, go online, look up The Amazing Adventures of an Amish Stripper, an erotic memoir. And my name is Elle Stanger. Find me on Instagram at stripperwriter, Twitter or X at Elle Stanger. We'll be right back. If you need to chat with a support specialist, Rain, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, has free, confidential, 24/7 help available. Call 1-800-656-4673 or visit online.rain.org to chat with a support specialist. That's online.rain.org to chat with a support specialist at Rain. Or call 1-800-656-4673. Welcome back to They Talk Sex Podcast. This is the Amish Stripper episode. Quite a surprise to me, actually. I didn't intend to record such an episode for this season, but I stumbled upon Naomi online and thought, oh my gosh, I have to talk to her. So we're speaking with at Amish Inspiration on TikTok and Instagram. So Naomi left the Amish when she was 17. She worked in stripping, other kinds of hustle work for about 20 years. She's now happily momming at home with a partner and selling her memoir, which you can read all by yourself. I'm not asking you to like trauma dump, but do you have any specific thoughts on what would be helpful in your specific community that you grew up in to prevent harassment or coercion or like in, I guess, unhealthy servitude?
Oh my goodness. That's a good one. I know that sexual assault happens quite a bit in the Amish. I don't know if it still happens as much like that it used to, and thankfully it never happened to me, but I know that it does happen. And I honestly, like, they're just such a close-knit community. I feel like to prevent it, they should talk about it more. They should like talk about this instead of keeping it so hush-hush, because as a young Amish girl, and if this, like, I know somebody, and I don't want to mention any names, that was assaulted when she was, like, starting at 14. And I don't know. I feel like if they would, they just need to talk to the kids about these things, but they don't. And if they did, then I feel like that could help prevent it. Because I also feel like the kids probably can't even really go to their parents to talk about this, or they probably don't even feel safe. I don't think I would have felt safe to go to my mom and dad if something like that would have happened.
Right. If everyone knows each other too, and especially if it's like a friend or a family member.
Right. So they just, if they talked about it and to the children and maybe amongst each other more, that could prevent it from happening. At least so much.
Yeah. I wish there was a way to make it so that people weren't able to go into extreme isolation, but I guess that also infringes on people's freedoms, because that's really when people are incredibly isolated in a bubble is when so much harm could happen. But I don't know. Open the borders? I don't know.
That's what I'm like, if they would just like teach, even, I don't know if it happens to boys or not.
I'm sure.
But I'm guessing it's a possibility that it does. Like, I feel like they just really need to talk to the kids about this stuff, even though it's probably not comfortable for any parent to talk to their child about sex, but it's necessary.
Right. Yeah. Hey, remember that, listeners. It's probably not comfortable, but it's necessary. We know that. Yeah. And sometimes it's not even that uncomfortable. If you make the answer, once you find the answer, pretty simple and straight to the point, sometimes they're like, oh, and it kind of loses, like, takes the piss out of all the sensationalism.
Right.
Let's see. Okay, so what do you think, to pivot a little bit, what do you think could make sex industry events or interactions safer for the people in them, if you could reflect?
I think, like, honesty and consent and wearing protection, using protection.
Condoms.
Always. Mm-hmm. If you don't, like, condoms, if you don't know the people that well, just protect yourself. Yeah, condoms is an easy way. Mm-hmm. And consent is such a big, big deal.
Yes, yes.
In these events, in places. Mm-hmm.
I asked you before.
I know I mentioned that before, but consent, consent, consent. Because I often felt like when I lived in California, like, the consent with most people, it was there, but my partner, I felt like the consent wasn't it was communication and consent. Mm. So there has to be communication as well.
And we talked about,
like, we didn't communicate properly.
Right. Yeah. And my next question was going to be, is there anything you would do differently in your life if you could go back in time? Besides, we talked about the boyfriend stuff, maybe disclosing right away or just not spending so much time with the first guy, at least.
I would definitely have left my ex in Vegas a lot sooner.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I would not have stayed there for that long. Mm-hmm. And to take the abuse. And also, I would have been more clear and open about what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And with my partner in California, my ex, if I could go back and do things differently, I would have stated my, what is it called? Like, when I met him, I was like, I don't want to be polyamorous relationship. Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything, but I'm pretty sure that he hurt me. Mm-hmm. And like the next thing I knew, like, that seemed like our relationship was just about that. And weird. Even though I didn't want to go down that road, it just more and more, like his hunger and his thirst for it just got so crazy.
Weird.
And I would have, if I could do things differently, removed myself from that would have been the best thing. And also for me, I didn't tell him that I was seeing my clients when I would go to Vegas to work. Mm-hmm. So just being honest and being honest with myself as well, because I was not being true and honest to myself, mm-hmm. because I was like, oh, I love this man so much. I'll be okay. And I am okay. But mentally, I did not feel well while I was in the relationship a lot of the mm-hmm. time.
So I'm hearing that being honest with yourself and other people will at least prevent shitty situations from dragging on longer
than they need yeah. to. Absolutely.
Yeah. I find that with clients too, where I'm like, if I'm constantly feel like I'm haggling my price or like selling myself short or negotiating or like doing stuff I'm like kind of not really into, whether it's online or in the club or anywhere else out in the world, like it just feels so gross. It's like not even worth it after a while. And I'm like, why am I still doing this? I don't like this kind of play.
Right. Like, why do we keep doing it to ourselves?
I have low self-esteem. Like, that's my problem.
Yeah, that's my problem too. Right? It's been a huge problem through my life, low self-esteem.
Right. Well, that's why we're here.
And the people please.
Yeah, this is a sex ed and self-help podcast. So that's why we're here, and a lot of our listeners, you know, we just want to be more honest with ourselves. So I think you've been a yes. really great guest to do that. Is there anything you
thank
would
you.
Thank you? Is there anything you would like to accomplish next?
Yes. So I wrote my book to share my story with the world, because I knew there's no way I'm the only person that has gone through some of the things I've gone through. Is to inspire people. That's why I wrote my book. And my next really big thing that I would love to accomplish is to turn my book into a movie or a TV series.
Ooh.
So that is hopefully my next accomplishment.
Okay.
Or one of the next ones. I would love to have a movie, make the book into a movie. And I often get messages, mostly from women, saying how inspiring my story is. And some of them say they're still living the story. Mm. So, but I give them hope.
That's so wonderful.
That they can get to the other side okay as well.
That makes me very happy.
So I just want to keep inspiring people. And if I can do it, anyone can do it. And just never give up. Believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're hearing it from two mommies. And I ask every guest this, Naomi. Do you have any sex tips for our audience?
Yes. If you're in a relationship, it's very important to connect through sex and always try new things. Like, it's fun to try new things, even if you've been with your partner for a long time. Like, my partner and I, we've been together almost 7 years, and we keep our sex life very fun and exciting and interesting, and it really helps us stay connected.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
And we like to try new things. And of course, everyone has to consent. We always consent to everything before we try new things, but just keep it fun and exciting.
What a role model. I'm so glad that you came on. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been
good.
Fun.
Yes, it has. Everyone, this was Naomi. This was the Amish stripper episode. Naomi Schwartz and Trooper. Did I say that right?
It was good. You said it
great. I just want to ask for affirmation. Okay, so find her on TikTok and Instagram at Amish Inspiration. Find me on lstanger.com. Until next time.